GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point, and there's the whistle. It's over! It's over!
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it! He hits it! What? It's over the bar!
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast, where we are looking ahead to the All-Ireland Hurling Final for 2024. Michael Dignan and Shane McGrath are with myself and Rory, who are like two giddy school kids ahead of it all. It's been good crack, Rory, hasn't it, this week?
Yeah, it's been, good crack now. Very. I mean, I was down in Cork there for the first couple of days, Jackie, of last week. I only got back up, on late Tuesday night, and I mean, to say the hype machine has gone into overdrive. I mean, there's dogs wearing Cork jerseys shouting up the rebels being posted into local radio stations. There's horses being dressed. It's, look, to my mind, it's all good. This is putting, and I know people will say, oh, they're getting carried away with themselves. Brilliant. Let the bandwagon get carried away. This is brilliant for hurling. This is brilliant for the promotion and the profile and the presence of hurling. All the kids are all down in the local GA clubs. I was down there on Sunday night and Monday night, all with hurlies and ball alleys. Everyone's wearing Cork jerseys. The next generation now have potentially a new bunch of heroes, and we'll see about that on Sunday, regardless of what happens on Sunday. I think they have a new bunch of heroes. So it's all good. And I think, I know people will say, oh, like the hype machine is getting carried away, but I don't know if that really affects the players all that much. Maybe it does. The lads would probably know more about that than I would, but I can't wait.
Yeah, look, and I think, to be honest, Michael, because of the novelty of it, I think it'll be like that in both counties, that they haven't, it's been quite a while since they've been waiting for this. And I'd imagine as a county board chairman, your phone is hopping with your friends in Clare and Cork looking to get onto you. Any spare tickets? It does have that kind of a circus feel about it, doesn't it?
It's been unbelievable, Jackie. I haven't witnessed anything like it, to be honest with you. And I'm a long time around. My first at Ireland was a minor in 86. We beat Cork, lads, just to
fill in on that one. Yeah.
And that's 38 years ago. And this is actually my 30th All-Ireland being involved in. I played in 5-1 minor and 4 senior, and this is my 25th on the Sunday game. So 30 out of the last 38 years, I've actually been actively involved, which is a great honour. And I'm as giddy as you are. Rory, all joking aside, it's, and Shane, I'm sure, is the very same. It never leaves you as a hurling person, All Ireland Day. And I suppose, look, we're not going to look back. It just shows you what can be done, though, when you go about promoting the thing. Like it's all brilliant and positive, Rory. I agree with you so much. You know, it has been crazy for tickets. And Jackie, being honest with you, the emails I've got, some of them are so heartfelt. They obviously have the generic chairperson account. The people have copped onto social media, then private messages on Twitter and Facebook, people I've never met. And I've read all the emails and haven't responded because some of them are actually heartbreaking. People attaching copies of their tickets for the whole year, photographs of them at matches, stories about family being sick and ill and this. And we just don't have them. We just get a limited supply in the county. But we were way oversubscribed. All our past players, our Ireland winners, they all want to go. You know, this every year the All-Ireland is huge, but I think something different this year is, number one, what you said, the two teams in it, Clare and Cork, haven't been there. Clare haven't won since 13. Cork haven't won in 19 years, which is hard to believe, haven't won 30 All-Irelands in the past. But I think it's the way that both of those teams play as well. And, you know, particularly Cork, they play, like, and I did term this one swashbuckling hurling, you know, a few years ago. But they're Galford, and, like, they took on Limerick straight down the heart of their team. They took on their half back line that was unbreakable for so long. And they went long with puckouts and there was no sweepers, and they took Limerick off their feet, and yet Limerick could have won it and all that type of thing. But there was fantastic semi-final. And Clare have come a slightly different route, not being impressive in the first half against Kilkenny. I think that was a lot of that was down to anxiety and pressure of failing again 3 years in a row. But they came good in the second half and they finished with a flourish. And maybe they're climbing their run a bit better after the disappointments of the semi-final. So it's all in the mix. It's a massive occasion. The whole country is talking about nothing else this week, regardless of the fact that there's so much else going on in other sports. And okay, the Euros are finished in Wimbledon and this, that, and the other. But it's really captured the national and public imagination.
Yeah, feels like that, Shane, doesn't it? It just, I mean, listen, we've been lucky enough to sit up there beside each other on All-Ireland Final Day, and lots of people know how special it is, but there just feels like there's something a bit different this year.
Yeah, we're delighted and took note that Clare and Cork are in it, because they'd have great time for us.
Shane, you're paranoid, Shane.
There'll be loads of beeping as we're driving through.
You're much more popular than you think, Shane.
Yeah. They would always be big fans of Tip out through the years, as Offaly would as well, Mike, I suppose. Yeah, so look, that's just the joys of touching off 8 or 9 counties. But look, it is unique, Jackie. It's great, like, and even I'm enjoying the build up there. A lot of people saying there isn't much build up. There is good old build up now, I have to say. Compared to the last 2 finals, I think it's been good. Cork are really embracing it, lads. They're, you know, their videos up of the lads getting fitted for suits, even the 99 team, the videos up of the lads going to the camps and stuff like that. Clare are more kind of low key. And look, all these things are fine. All these things are fine once you win. If you don't win, then I suppose they're all the worst things in the world. Why did they make a video of them getting the suits? Why did they let them go to the camps? That's just the way it is. I don't think these things affect players as much as they maybe might have used to before. Because they're just so used to it now. They're used to living in the world of people being able to access them, et cetera, et cetera. Very unique. I think one thing you're going to be guaranteed, Jackie, is goals. Like, even I was down in Parky Creeve earlier this year, and there were 6 goals in the second half alone with Clare and Cork. And obviously, you go back to the 2013 final. While it feels like a long time ago now, you know, you still have a large, large handful of leaders involved in that game that are going to feature again on Sunday. So there'll be great colour there. I think, you know, with all due respect, like, to Limerick people, obviously they want to be there, and maybe they could be there. And I think if you were to look at, you know, a bet for next year, it might probably will be Limerick to win All-Ireland, because I think maybe if some of them were thinking about leaving, I think the hurt will actually keep them now. But that's a story for another day. And I just think you'll have loads of colour up there. It'll be a savage atmosphere. Like, I mean, the All-Ireland semi-final, Limerick and Cork, was as close as I've ever seen as a player, or been looking up, as you said, Jackie, to sit up there, up where you were as well, Mike, on Sunday, to an All-Ireland final. It was unbelievable. The atmosphere was unbelievable. You know, the traffic on the way up, the traffic on the way home. So, like, that's just what Cork bring to it as well. So, look, it's going to be savage. I think the build-up has been brilliant, as I said. The 2 weeks is good as well for players. While the 4 weeks allows maybe the outside world to maybe get kind of more preview nights organised and get these things organised and stuff, I think as a player, the 2 weeks is ideal, because if it didn't go well for you in an All-Ireland semi-final, you don't have to dwell on it too much. If it did go well for you, you know the next game is coming up in 3-4 sessions. Not much heavy training to be done in between. So, look, I'm really looking forward. I'm up there as well. There's another Offaly man on the radio. Brian will be doing the radio. You'll be doing the telly. You're taking over that side of it, Mike. Fair play to you. You're doing a good job at it. And myself and Milan and Aoife Sheehan. So, look, we're just, as Michael said, we're just so lucky we get to sit in the middle of the Hogan Stand, the top tier, and look down at the game we love and try and call it or talk to people who are maybe in hospital, milking cows, living in Australia, living in New Zealand. And really just, isn't it great to be able to make your pastime, your passion, your hobby, something that you do as well, and to be able to talk to people about it. So look, it's great, Jackie. It really, really is.
Ah, it is. Listen, you've set it up nicely. I can't wait. Let's drill into the detail then and start with Clare, Michael, and the run that they've been on. It is kind of funny, even when you talk about 2013, as Shane does, that like 11 years later, Shane O'Donnell, you know, he started off that one as a 19-year-old, flash in the pan, and suddenly all these years later, you probably knew even from that day maybe he's going to be a mainstay, but I heard him saying during the week, not even he thought that it would take 11 years to get back there again, but he's so key to what they're going to do on the weekend, isn't he?
He is. He was a breath of fresh air then, and he's a breath of fresh air now, which, you know, he's obviously developed hugely as a player. I think that time, with no due disrespect to him, he probably agrees with that. I don't think he could hardly poke the ball over the bar from 30 yards out. He was lighter, weaker, but he had an eye for goal and great skill and whatever. But he's developed, and he's gone. Look, he's not your typical GA player. You know, he's gone to Harvard. He's done a PhD.
He wants to be an astronaut.
wants to be an astronaut. I'd say if he wants to be, he will be. He suffered obviously very badly with those concussions over a period. He talks very openly about that. He feels let down by the GAA in ways about that. He's very open. Something that Shane touched on there about players and the build-up. You know, I've always said it over all the years, hiding players away is nonsense. You know, like, you should be able to talk to the media and embrace it and get your profile out there, you know, in terms of being yourself. And I saw he had a huge interview there before the semi-finals about his whole career and about his hurling career, about his work balance. Like, he lives in Clare during the training season. He lives in Dublin then with his girlfriend during the rest of the year. You know, so he gives up a lot and he works from home. He's London-based now. So he's not your typical, you know, GAA player in many respects. And but his ability is unnatural. You know, his ability in the air he's not small, but he's not a huge man, but he can spring. His timing is unbelievable. He's very brave. Bullets of balls on the ground that you think you couldn't hardly get your hurt at. He's down with the hand, first time into his hand. Like, these are massive, massive skills of the game. And the ability to get the ball in his hand so quickly is the game changer, because then he has that extra yard or two and he's gone. His balance, his pace. And then the other thing, he's so selfless in terms of he's such a team player, but now he's brought that scoring ability, particularly more points to the play as well. He can play 14, he can play 11, he can play 10, 12, it doesn't matter. So he can go and disrupt all over the forward line. So he has become a key player, and especially, I suppose, in the absence of Tony Kelly. And I know Tony has been back for the last couple of months, but Tony Kelly has been Clare's best hurler of the last 15, 20 years and one of their best hurlers of all time. And he's coming in under the radar as well. And I think he could be the key, real key player as well on Sunday, because he'd lost his confidence. There's no doubt about that over the summer, coming back from injuries. Over the last couple of years, he's been in and out of the team so much. And he looked to me, he didn't even want to take on shots that he would have been popping over the bar for the last 10 years. But against Kilkenny, he never touched the ball in the first half. And the second half, he came out. And he just showed his class. He forced himself into the game. Having had two very poor days against Kilkenny on Mikey Butler in the past, he scored 3 points in the second half. And he's going to carry that on Shane's point. He has no time to reflect on that, only carry that into a final now after maybe a couple of training sessions. And he's going to be huge. And Conlon is the third one then, John Conlon, the spiritual leader of the team. They're the three there from 13. Mm. And he is so key to how they play as well. So they're remarkable people to be able to keep doing that at that level over that period of time. And John Conlon is 30. He's older than the lads. He's mid-30s. Shane, you probably know, 35 anyway. And it's remarkable what he still brings to the team. And Lohan, of course, then the link to the 90s. And, you know, so they have a huge, probably, psychological belief, spiritual, almost the way Clare bring that look Nan type, Dalo type profile to the whole setup. And I think they'll be leaning very heavily on that against a much more flamboyant and young and, you know, confident Cork team.
Confident. Mm. That's a euphemism for what you really want to say, Michael, is it?
but Rory, I actually...
I'm only joking.
Yeah, but I love it. I have a lot of detractors in Cork that think I don't like them because, and I just say to them, it's not my fault it's 19 years since you won in All-Ireland. But they had...
Maybe that's why they don't like you, Michael, that you're that good with them.
You only speak the truth.
But they had gaps of 3 and 6 for years that we talked about over and over again. They had a difficulty winning ball in the half-forward line. You know, they were perceived by their own people, hurling people, as being a bit soft and a bit flaky, as been talked about. And Pat Ryan has done a remarkable job over the last couple of years in eradicating all of that, or practically all of that. And people forget last year they were so unlucky. You know, this year they got off to a shaky start in the championship and had to beat Limerick. But last year they were beaten a point on three occasions in the Munster Championship round robin. And he has brought confidence. He's gone three, a young player in Owen Downey. 6 was going to be a young player in Kieran Joyce, but has become Rob Downey. 11 is Shane Barrett, who's come up to generation. 14 is Alan Connolly. He's built his team on 4 young players that have come through the ranks who bring everything that you need. And Shane Barrett's on course for possibly being player of the year, in my view. He's absolutely, along with Darragh Fitzgibbon, unbelievable. So Pat Ryan deserves huge credit for that and for bringing the Corkness back into Cork hurling. And you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. I think that's fair as well, though, Shane, the Corkness, whatever it is you describe it as. Michael is absolutely right. It is built on, these young lads have had success as well. It's not like it's coming from nowhere. Like, they have had underage success. They're used to winning. So being flamboyant is just who they are, because that's what they've been doing.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, you can see that they're growing in confidence. First day against Waterford just didn't go well. But sure, I didn't suppose, what was the problem? So they just didn't have their best team. Like, just... Mm. They picked their best team after that and slowly but surely started gaining momentum, started getting better and better and better. And that's what it is. And it's it was like, it was damned if you do, damned if you don't for Pat Ryan. Like it could have gone disaster, like, because he was kind of saying to 5 or 6 older lads, look, it's not happening. Like, you know, I'm going to go with the young lads. Went with the younger lads. It's paid off for him. But I suppose he wasn't going in blindly, like, because he knew what these young lads were about. And when I'm saying young lads, like, I'm talking about the likes of, like, the Brian Hayes, the Alan Connollys, the Shane Barretts, you know, Ethan Toomey to a lesser degree. You know, these kind of lads, like, which he'd worked with underage. So he knew what they were about because he'd won all Ireland with them. So he went with them, and as they've grown in confidence, and that was never as evident as it was the last day up in Croke Park, Jackie. So they've been brilliant, like, you know, and touch on what Michael was saying there, talk about Shane O'Donnell. Like, I think Shane O'Donnell and Dara Fitzgibbon are two front runners for Hurler of the Year at the moment. And just going back over the matches, like, they both played 7 games. They both scored from play in all the 7 games. And even the last day against Cork, when Cork played Clare down there, like, Shane O'Donnell just had it down, because I was down doing the radio that day. He had 11 possessions in the first half. He scored a point, 1-3 frees, 3 assists, 1 a sideline. Like, it's what he's like. A lot of people look at forwards, I suppose, as if they're not scoring, maybe they're not being as effective. But as Michael has said there, what Shane O'Donnell is doing when he's not scoring is just so important to Clare. He's creating space. He's drawing attention from maybe 1 or 2 defenders. He's assisting. He's winning frees, and he's unreal. But I just have to say, as a midfielder, what Dara Fitzgibbon has done this year, like, 22 points from play.
22 points is outrageous, Shane, isn't
it's
it?
It's outrageous. Like, I mean, just from... Well, the game has changed a lot since I was midfield. Like, it's not a million years ago, but it has changed a lot in regards that it is bypassed a lot now, where when it does go in there, you're talking about maybe 12, 13, 14 bodies in there, whereas you might have had a bit of space before. But, like, most goalies now, lads, are landing at 45 further. And, like, what Dara Fitzgibbon is doing, the way he's playing himself into games, the way he's using the space, the way Cork are using Dara Fitzgibbon and taking your wing forward and putting him into the middle and letting him run on, e.g. what they did against Limerick the last day, taking the wing backs out. And Dara knows it's going there. And to fair credit Patrick Collins, his puckouts were poor against Clare earlier on in the year. He worked on him a lot. His puckouts were brilliant the last day. But, like, that's where I'm kind of maybe leaning towards Dara Fitzgibbon a little bit more, like, to say that he scored 22 points from play. I think he's Cork's 3rd or 4th top overall top scorer this year from midfield. Doesn't take the freeze. And I just think he has been phenomenal. So when you talk about trying to tie lads down, you know, like, if whoever can tie either of those down the best, whoever can, if Cork can tie down Shane O'Donnell the best, who that's going to be? Will it be Sean O'Donoghue? Hard to know, because Shane O'Donoghue is drifting in and out between the half forward line, full forward line. And for me, it has to be Ryan Taylor that's going to have to try and detail Dara Fitzgibbon for his athleticism. You know, if he's not a full game, in which a lot of people are saying, I understand that, because he came on the last day, that was his first game. But if he got to 58-60 minutes and Dara Fitzgibbon has not been effective, he has more than done his job.
Job done.
And let someone else come on and try and finish it off. But I just think that if Dara Fitzgibbon has a big game for Cork, he goes a long way to them winning, and vice versa with Shane O'Donnell. So look, they're just two of the lads. I just think also, Jackie, quickly, like, what way do you want to do with Shane Barrett? I think is going to be very, very interesting, because I just don't know if John Conlon is the player for Shane Barrett with the way he likes to play, very defensive 6, sitting in the pocket. And we've seen what Shane Barrett is about, lads. It epitomised it for me was the point he got off the hurley. And, like, the Limerick lads were flailing to try and get back at him. You know, Decky Hannon, he was finding it hard just to get back, get something on him. So are they going to look at maybe David Mack going into 6 and trying to curtail Shane Barrett? And I think that'll be very interesting. And also, what are they going to do with Brian Hayes? Because it's a mismatch between Adam Hogan and Brian Hayes, like, you know, height-wise and everything. So maybe you'll see Conor Cleary. And finally then, Kieran Joyce. I think Kieran Joyce is made to go and try and mark Peter Duggan for what he did to Gerard Hegarty. So, like, you know, there's lots of ifs and buts that will be talked about a lot over the next few days and even on the day of the game. But I just think Shane O'Donnell, Dara Fitzgibbon, and those three man-marking jobs, they'll go a long way to getting the winner, Jackie. Like.
Mm. Do you know one of my favourite things to do, Michael, is when I'm listening to you doing commentary, is the nuggets that you get that you don't get on the television, where you are saying, look at this, he's detailing him, this fella's gone off, here's who's picking up this fella, here's who's picking up this fella, because Shane is absolutely right. Those key decisions around who picks up who is what's going to define this game. And it's going to be helter-skelter for you on Sunday when you suddenly realise this fella's going on him, this fella's going on him, because if you get one of them wrong, the whole All-Ireland could be gone from you.
Yeah, It is. I just said something before I say, I'll come back to that, is that what often happens in All-Ireland as well is that somebody you never thought of was going to be the match winner.
Absolutely.
It happens so often. It's unbelievable. We've seen it over the years. Back to 95 when Clare beat us, Fergie too, who was a steady player. He scored 4 points from playing the final. We didn't see him come. We Jamesy nearly imprinted on our foreheads, but Fergie too, he took over. Without going over what Shane said, because I would agree with a lot of it, you can look at other matchups all over the field and come down to it. But a lot of it, even before that, is handling the occasion. It's handling the nerves. It's the build-up. It's travelling up the night before, maybe not being that used to it. All those things come into play, and how you actually get there and how you feel on the day and how you actually perform under pressure. And they are all used to it to an extent, but All-Ireland final day is different. And the semi-final will definitely help Cork in that respect, because it was more like an All-Ireland final. Rory, we had a bit of a chat earlier on there, and you made a very good point that, you know, there might even be a better atmosphere at the semi-final because there's so many genuine, if you want to call it genuine, in inverted commas, supporters. Yeah. Like the All-Ireland final itself has turned more, there's more corporate, there's more people from all over the country because of the nature of the distribution of tickets, and there's more, it's more of a massive sort of World Cup final, European rugby final, whatever occasion. So Cork will definitely have learned a lot that day about the day itself and coming up and handling it. And then Clare had that experience we talked about. But look, it is, it's down to it. And Cork the last day, the other thing that wasn't a big factor was their subs bench, which we've talked about this for years now, particularly the last 10 years, the Dublin footballers, the finishers, Jim Gavin christened them the finishers. Whereas Cork didn't really want to bring on anyone the last day. The first 15 gave one of the great team displays. I think I said it in the commentary. And Shane Kingston and Robbie O'Flynn, I think, were brought on very late, but it was really only Seamus Harney couldn't really stand up. He got a very heavy knock from Darragh O'Donovan. And what a warrior he is. We haven't mentioned him.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, himself and Hoggy are the two that I think everybody would love to see winning All-Ireland medals. And I said this, I do an article for the Mail on Sunday, I wrote it earlier this week. I'd love to see Brian Lohan winning because I've known him for so long, and I know he can come across a bit grumpy and in his interviews and everything else, but he's a great fellow when you know him, and he's put so much into Clare hurling. But I'd also love to see Pat Horgan and Seamus Harney in particular winning All-Ireland medals. The three Clare lads have that we've talked about, who've given so much, have them already. But it doesn't work like that. They're not giving out the lucky bags. You have to go and win them. And I just thought that the Clare bench made a very big impact. Shane, I'm not sure will they start Ryan Taylor. He's a fantastic hurler. What an addition he is back in the team. I would start him. You obviously think he will start by what you said there. But he is a phenomenal player. Ian Galvin's man makes a big profit. David Reedy, nobody talks about him. He'll get 3 or 4 points on Sunday, I guarantee you. He's a live wire. He's busy. He complements the big men around him so well. Will Shanahan come on and stick to one in the net? We've been waiting for years. He has that ability. Doesn't always happen for him. Like, so Clare have an awful lot of huge options. And the thing about Clare, I think, that will be hard for Clark to pinpoint, and so long I've answered your question, but I think they're totally unpredictable as opposed to Limerick. I think Cork earmarked Limerick this year. They've beaten them twice, which is phenomenal. How much has that taken out of them mentally and physically? Clare were the only team getting close to them. Like, they bet them in a round robin, they drew with them, they were very close to them. But when they got to Croke Park, it had taken its toll on them the last couple of years. And, you know, you go to analyse that Clare forward line, it's not as straightforward, because I actually think some of the time they don't hardly know what they're going to do themselves in terms of the way they play. Peter Duggan has got more disciplined, I think, in his approach. The way he was changing the hurling, catching the ball in the wrong hand and doing this, looks grand, but then you're off balance when you come down. The last day he was going up with his catching hand, coming down, laying off the ball, doing the simple things, as I call them, much more effectively. And I just see a maturity about some of that that's taken a while, that's taken Lohan maybe 5 years to get into this pitch. And that's why I have a slight fancy for Clare on Sunday.
Mm. All of that is very reasoned though, Rory, isn't it? You know, Michael makes a good point around, I think, just, you know, what it might have taken out of Cork even coming through those two Limerick games, because you're absolutely right. The atmosphere at a semi-final, the emotional drain of something like that. And I think given the Clare and the wily nature of what they might have learned even from over the last number of years of those titanic battles with Limerick, they know all too well that there can be an emotional come down after something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that. How could there not be? I mean, they're only human. They're amateur players. It was just, as I said, yeah, the morning after that match, it was arguably the greatest experience I've ever had in Croke Park as a supporter. So I can only imagine what it must have been like for the players and the management. So I think that's natural enough. This is a 50-50 game. I think Cork are being depicted as favourites by a lot of people, and some pundits are going for them and others are not. And I know if you're looking at odds, I think Cork are favourites. But I see it no more than a 50-50 game. I think Shane mentioned the round-robin game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I watched it last night. Great game as well. A lot of people pinning their reasons behind that defeat, maybe on Sean O'Donoghue's second yellow. I think the game had turned long before Sean O'Donoghue was given his marching orders, actually. I mean, Cork went 7 points up very early in the second half of that game, and Clare had really reeled them in. I think it was down to maybe one or two by the time Sean O'Donoghue got that second booking, and he was very hard on himself, I felt, in that interview he gave to Kieran Shannon in the Irish Examiner. Brilliant interview as well, by the way. So I think that Cork's record against Clare is atrocious. Last five championship matches, one win, which was a squally old qualifier during COVID times, I think, when Patrick Collins made an incredible stop using his body once again on the last gasp Tony Kelly chance, maybe to get Clare out of trouble. So Clare will kind of be saying to themselves, we have their number. We have Cork's number on this. I think obviously it's a very different Cork team in some ways. Shane mentioned there about how Patrick Collins' puckouts that day weren't great down the park. I think the issue there, from what I can gather, listening to the commentary, the wind apparently was unbelievable that day. It was like a howling gale. He probably won't have that. And the other thing that I think Shane correctly pointed out, it was the first time that the Glen de Bars, the Rockies, were in that full forward line. And that was their first time playing together. They have now played six championship matches as a triumvirate, right? Mm-hmm. So the understanding, when to run, where to run, how, you know, who goes, I'll go for this one, you go for the next one. That has immeasurably increased in terms of just how the whole thing works in a much more cohesive manner. And it gives, I suppose, the defenders the opportunity to get the ball in. Doesn't really matter. Like, I mean, I think that because they have each of them bring different things to the table, it'll give Clare plenty of things to think about in terms of that full back line versus full forward line. I would still have big concerns about 3 and Michael mentioned about how Pat Ryan has solved 3 and 6. Has it been completely solved? I would have a wee bit of a concern. You have a very, very young player at 3. And they put O'Donnell in there on top of him. One of the many attributes that Michael spoke about Shane O'Donnell is his intelligence. And I'd wonder, did Limerick and did Coyley maybe not capitalise as much on that? Now, look, young Downey, he's a Northsider. He's from the Glen. I'm going to have the whole of Blackpool chasing me after this. Now, I know a doubt, but I can tell you this much. He won't be lacking in confidence. He won't be lacking in self-belief, but he is very young. Is he even 20?
Yeah, I tell you, I think the trust that Pat Ryan that he's grown in Owen Downey is unreal. And I'll tell you why, right? He got a yellow card against Limerick early on in the year in the Round Robin, and they took him off, like, because I'd say they felt he's going to get a second yellow. Soon as he went off, Seamus Flanagan scored 3 goals and 3 points, right? Owen Downey got a yellow card the last day. Again, marking Seamus Flanagan. They left him on for the whole match. Seamus Flanagan scored 1 point from play, got taken off. And I think that was kind of, like, Owen Downey, like, I was there that day as well, Rory. Owen Downey was disgusted that they got taken off. And you know what? Rightly so. He didn't even go into the dressing room at half time. He stayed out. They'd come out and kind of just say, it's okay now, we're all part of the team and all this. And I'd say, when he's looking back now, he was just so frustrated and so peed off, like, that he got taken off. And sure, I think he repaid it in spades last day. He got his yellow card. He was immense after that, the job he did for Cork. So while you're saying it's not fully solved, I think Owen Downey and Robert Downey have been exceptional. And I think they've grown and grown and grown. So I think that they're fairly there now. And like, imagine the understanding them two boys have with each other. Like, you know what I mean?
But
Owen Downey will know if Robert Downey is going to miss it. Like, you know, that's anyway.
And there is one other small key factor as well with that earlier round robin game, Jackie. Tony Kelly was obviously not togged out. He mm-hmm. will be togged out the next day. And look, we already spoke about his influence on the team and obviously the connections that go back to 2013. And I think equally, by the way, and I think, I don't know whether it was Shane or Michael both mentioned about the 3-6 issues that potentially Clare have. And I do think, given the nature of Patrick Collins's puck outs and given the ball of energy that Shane Barrett is, that will be a big job for John Conlon. There's absolutely no doubt about that for me. But look, I think it's going to be like all of these things are just all the little subplots about matchups, you know, and all of a sudden everybody will be, you know, watching to see who gets on top where early doors. Ah, listen, bring it on.
Mm. Yeah. Michael, where are you at on that Cork conundrum 3-6 defensively general? What do you think of what Rory is saying there?
I think it's very valid in terms of both fullback lines. Shane mentioned a whole lot of potential matchups. I think you look at the other end. If that Cork full forward line hits top form like the last day, Brian Hayes got 1-4, Alan Connolly got 3 points, playing a different role. He's the goal scorer supreme. We saw during the Munster round robin, he was scoreless against Offaly, scoreless against Dublin. I don't, it was a bug in the camp or whatever, a lot of players were sick. I think we can discount that match to a certain extent. They're always probably going to beat Offaly, even though it got very tight at one stage in the second half. But in Munster, he'd been brilliant. But the last day, he played a different game. He got away from the goals. He tried to drag Dan Morrissey away, and he scored 3 great points in play. And here's the size that Shane mentioned. Can you put Adam Hogan at him? So I'd probably be saying Conor Cleary on him. Conor Lean is inexperienced in there. So potentially Cork have an advantage in there in terms of what way they can exploit the matchups with Adam Hogan. Having said that, Adam Hogan has been one of the best players, like, you know, the horrible cornerback from hell, if you like, you know, but I mean that in the best way possible, an absolute terrier. And on the other end of the field, you know, Clare, and I'll get to Shane Barrett's thing, I think, out of this too, because Clare, I don't think, can afford to leave 3 inside, because if John Conlon sits, someone has to pick up Shane Barrett, and that creates a problem for Clare. So I don't think they can leave 3 inside. So who's going to come out the field and what they're going to do and try to exploit inside. I thought Niall O'Leary might be the one that might pick up Shane O'Donnell. I think Sean O'Donnell is under a bit of pressure. Aaron Gillan gave him a roast in the last day. And I mean that in the best. Like, he was so good. Gillan gave one of the all-time great performances. Scored 6 points in play. To me, was man of the match, even though Brian Hayes got 1-4 and Cork won. He got man of the match, fair enough. But Gillan gave that exhibition. And Sean, as you said, that interview, Rory, he was very hard himself about getting that second yellow down. And that's in his mind. And, you know, I'm just wondering, he's the captain of the team.
Can I ask you on that, actually, Michael? Hmm. If you show... when I looked at that again, I watched it and I just rewound it. Hmm. It's two lads going for a ball that's after breaking. He's no Hurley now, right?
Yeah.
And he meets him shoulder to shoulder. Is that a yellow card?
Well, you know me, I wouldn't give too many yellows.
Michael, there's not too much in that, Guyman.
Rory, you'll catch me off. I can't, so long ago now, I can't. You watched it last night. You're obviously not obsessed with it, Randy, but I haven't watched it since that day. I think I recall that was on GA Go. I don't bring up another of my feet here, but
was it yellow, Rory?
I was just going to say, my recollection.
Body checked him.
Yeah,
I watched it here on the telly behind me. You can't see it; it's a dark evening here, lovely. But I think I took call of the yellow at the time myself. But that's all. Anyway, that's all water under the bridge. But I'm just saying there is question marks and doubt. And when you're lying in bed the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Shane knows this before an All Ireland final. You don't want to have doubts in your mind if you can help it at all, but you will have, and you'll go places, and you have to convince yourself then and clear the head for the big day. You know, so that's, it's all part of it. As we could talk about it forever. It could be a slip. It could be a mistake from a goalie, you know, which I hope it's not. I hope it's not a referee mistake. It's an awful job now. And I used to be, looking back on my commentary career over the years, I was probably too hard on referees a lot of the time, you know, because it's, you know, and I've tried to tone it down a bit over the last few years because it's very, very difficult. The speed of the game, the amount of throws that people to be on to me morning, noon, night, a lot of them are throws. I know we have to call them if we can see them, but the last time we probably got it wrong, Alan Connolly was probably a hand pass and it looked like a throw and the ref called it as a throw. And if you let it go and let it flow, you have people saying they're not applying the rules. And if you apply the rules, you have no hurling. So, like, it's all of that. And look, Johnny Murphy, he booked Rory O'Connor early the last day. Was it a yellow card? Probably, technically, yeah. Would I have given him? No.
No, you definitely wouldn't have given
Well, you know, coming across with an arm. But then the second one, Johnny Murphy had no choice. But Rory O'Connor, from a player's point of view, has to take responsibility as well. It's a ridiculous slap to give. You know, so all of those things are factored in. And the other point that Shane made about Owen Downey being taken off after yellow. Like, if some of the full back line get a yellow early on, if you're marking Shane O'Donnell, if you're marking Alan Connolly, he gets a ball, he heads for the goal. If these players realise you're on the yellow, you know, with the black card for the deliberate drag down, with all that. So all of these things in real time at 100 miles an hour, you know, a mistake here or there by anybody on the field, including the ref or umpire or someone else, could decide the game.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys are in a comfortable position of being neutrals in this. So you can make the case generally for, in your head, when you go to sleep on Saturday night, Shane, and you're dreaming about the All-Ireland final, because I know you're that kind of fella and that's what you're going to be doing. Give me the case for who's going to win this match and why you think that's going to happen. What has to go right for Cork? What has to go right for Clare? And ultimately, who do you think holds the aces and who's going to win?
I used to watch up for the match anyway, Jackie, because you were always great. Old Crector, he'll relax everybody.
You want to see it this weekend? It's going to be like a circus.
I can imagine, yeah. There you go. There's another great thing. And some lads will be shook in Croke Park, I'm sure, Sunday after up for the match. Who do I think is going to win? I think Cork are going to win. I think if you look at the matchups, you look at where they're at. Michael spoke about their inside forward line. I just don't know. What did he get? 112 overall the last day. I just thought they were awesome. And I just don't know. Can Clare go toe-to-toe them? The matchups around the field. I just think when I look at it, man on man, with the way the teams are, as Michael has said, with the finishers that Cork have, if needed, I'm leaning towards Cork. I think Cork are going to win this. I think the confidence they'll have from the performance in the semi-final, the way they're hurling. I think it's, they're a completely different team than what lost to Clare earlier on in the year. As are Clare now, they are a different team too. And I think on the Clare side of it, then who's going to have a massive, massive performance with Clare? I think Tony Kelly is going to have a massive performance with Clare, because I think he's hurting personally, maybe from frustration he's had with his injury, and maybe even the last day against Kilkenny to a lesser degree, while the rest of us would love to be getting 2 or 3 points in All-Ireland semi-final. That's just the standard he has set for himself to become Clare's best hurler ever, in my opinion. So I think watch out Tony Kelly Sunday. I think he's going to have a massive game. But I do feel, just all the matchups and the way Cork are at, I'm leaning towards Cork. It's going to be close, but I'm going to say Cork by 3 points.
Oof. I tell you, it feels like that, Michael. It's just very hard to call. I know you have a slight fancy for Clare, even that flip of the coin, half the pundits we talk to feel one way, half of them feel another way. And I guess, as Rory said, 50-50 game is kind of the way that this has always felt in the closer we get to it.
It is. And the reality is, none of us have a clue really what's going to happen. So like, that's it. We can talk about it forever. And that's what we're here for. I think, if Cork produced what's produced the last day at that level, they win. But I think Limerick were, while they were brilliant right up to the final whistle, they could have won it. They made a couple of very bad decisions on the field, which is not like them. You know, Tom Morrissey was straight down the middle. Adam English had a shot. Aidan O'Connor should have flicked the ball. He actually hit it wide. Adam English had another shot that went over the bar, but he should have passed it inside as well. Adam English was the one to Tom Morrissey that he scored. Aidan O'Connor, it was Declan Hannigan up the middle. And both of them were just straight through two-on-ones, three-on-ones, and even a couple of the wides that they had. So they're brilliant champions. But I think they were at the top of the hill. They were lacking that just little edge, that little hunger thing that we all talk about that you can't really quantify, had just gone a little bit with Limerick. And Cork produced one of the all-time great displays then to beat them. It's just a hunch that it would have taken a lot out of them. And they had so much homework done individually on every Limerick player. Like, they had them, it was a masterclass from the seven floor looking down in terms of right across the field. They never put the ball to Kyle Hayes. The only time he came up the field and scored a point, Dara Fitzgibbon, that Shea mentioned, was in his position before the ball was hardly over the bar from Kyle Hayes. It was in Dara's hand and over the bar at the far end of the field. So there was kind of saying, go ahead there, Kyle. We'll hit you at the far side. Declan Dalton stood off 100 and odd yards off Dermot Burns or off whoever they were picking up. Declan Hand were moving so much and he poked over 2 points from well over 100 yards. So all of those, they had almost every blade of grass and every tactic figured to the last and got it all right on the day. That's very hard to replicate. And as I said earlier briefly, I think it's a different animal. I think it's how Clare tactically asked the question, how can Bort lose? What they do if they try to protect the full backline of John Conlon. John Conlon reminds me of a real dominant under 14 player playing centre back. He sits back, he covers left and right. It's very unusual, it's very old school in the modern game. It's not a sweeper per se, but it's kind of a covering role, and they have to put pressure on the ball up the field to make them hit it, that he can get to it beforehand, and Cork try to work it out. So that hassle and work rate of the Clare forwards, combined with somebody having to come out and drift. Paul Malone was taken off the last day. I think he's been a kind of an unsung hero of that Clare team over the last 5 or 6 years. He's not their most natural hurler, but he's a huge warrior type figure. And he was very poor the last day. And if I was him, and maybe I fit into that category as a hurler myself, that I wasn't the flashiest of the players, I would be like an antichrist now going into that and looking for the start. Now, I would start him and I'd probably keep Ryan Taylor for that massive impact he could make. But someone like Colin Malone can sit there and can do a powerful amount of work and would be so savage from the last day. I could see him being a very key player. I have picked out Tony Kelly as a player I think that can really come to life. I think Shane O'Donnell, in the form he's in, is unmarkable. I just think he's going to have a massive impact on the game. And I think their bench, while Cork have this potential superstar status on their bench, I'm not sure if they exactly know. They brought on different players. Luke Mead was brought on one day, two was brought on the last day. Shane Kingston has been brought on, was massively effective against Limerick and Páirc Uíomh. Came on the last days of Bloods, came on again, wasn't himself. Robbie O'Flynn has very little hurl under his belt. Tammy O'Connell has been sort of in and out. I'm not sure they're as settled as the Clare bench either. And that's for those reasons. And a lot will have to go right for Clare maybe on the day. I think their experience of those lads that have won the All-Irelands already will count as well in the dressing room. No, this is only a hunch. Cork could easily go out and win by 10 points, but it's just a hunch that it'll be a tight game. There isn't much in it, lads, with these top monster teams over the last few years. It should be much the same. And I just think Clare might share it. That's it.
I think the saddest thing, Rory, is that this is the end of it because, what a brilliant hurling year. What a novelty for it to end like this. And not even to have Limerick in it, who have been potentially the greatest team of all time. This has just been a magical season and I hope we get a magical end on Sunday. Whoever wins, and I genuinely mean that even as a Cork person, I just think whatever happens on Sunday, there is going to be magic on the air because it's going to be 11 years or 19 years. And for hurling people, just, the vast scenes that you're going to see on Sunday are going to be incredible.
And look, if Clare were playing anybody else, they've always been my kind of second favourite team going back down through the years.
Era, don't be trying to keep the people in Clare happy.
Yeah, but genuinely, the team in the 90s, no different to Michael's team, they had a huge influence on me as a kid growing up. We can all remember the summer of 95 and the heat and just the arrival of that banner roar and Gerlach Nan, the great Gerlach Nan onto the scene, and just that period for hurling where I think for 5 or 6 years in a row, neither Cork or Kenny Tip even made a final, and you had Offaly winning a couple and Wexford, Limerick, Clare all making All-Ireland finals, and you can trace it all back to that. Brian Lowen, I think, was Hurler of the Year in 1995. He's the manager on Sunday. Pat Ryan played in the 99 final, which was the first final where we'll say the dark forces struck back and managed to get back into a final, and Pat Ryan was playing that day, and they're the Jubilee team on Sunday, and Pat won't be there. So all the connections are all there going back into that particular period, and I think it's just such a special time in hurling, that particular time, and to see it now where it's all going to unfold for a new generation, I think is absolutely fantastic. What do I think is going to happen? I couldn't agree more with Michael. have not got a clue. Don't have a clue. Anything could happen in this game. The only thing I would say from a Cork perspective, though, I suppose, I think they're here. They're here now for probably the next few years. So, you know, even win, lose, or draw, don't be getting too carried away and don't be getting too downbeat, because I think Cork are here now and they're going to be here for a few years. And but look, there's no harm trying to get that first one onto the notch.
Get the first one there now.
So. Exactly. If I could just say there, like, it, you know, I know we look at times and say, look, hurling is not played all over the country, and that, you know, the issues in promoting the game, which are real and true and are very difficult to solve. But hurling is in a good place generally, you know, I think, in terms of, you know, it's like the 90s. There's seven or eight teams sort of at the high level. There's a few other teams trying to get there. Like, look at the year we've had. The Tip Miners probably given one of the most heroic displays of all time to win that with 30 men. Not because I'm Offaly, but we win our first ever under 20 with a team full of outstanding, skillful hurlers.
Exactly.
And the Joe McDonough final, we won it as well. Carlo won it last year in a great game with us. It was another great game. It's a level down, no doubt about it. But you're getting tremendous hurling within that, and competitive hurling. And then looking at, and I know Munster has moved ahead. Like, Leinster has been a little bit disappointed this year in terms of you know, Galway have faded a little bit. You know, we've seen Henry leaving there. We've seen, you know, Davey moving on to Waterford. But you see, Wexford have a bit of work to do. Dublin have a bit of work to do. They push Cork hard. But it wouldn't take an awful lot to improve the fortunes of those counties either. So, like, you're not far off having, you know, and it looks like it's here to stay. If you look at the quality of the underage players, the Cork underage for the last few years, Tip have had great under 20 teams, to this minor team this year, and lots of other players. The skill level, the standard of fitness, the interest that these lads have in the game is at an all-time high as far as me. And like, they deserve huge credit, all of these players, for what they're given on a voluntary basis. They're fantastic. And it's a very, very hard game to master to that level.
It is.
And it's brilliant to see that we've so many people that are willing to give up their lives to give us what we enjoy so much.
Hear, hear, Michael. Couldn't agree more. So many people are going to give up their afternoons to watch it on Sunday, and that is why we love it. It's going to be so, so special. Shane, Michael, thanks a million for being with us. And Rory, enjoy Sunday. Try not to get too stressed. Try to enjoy the day. And fingers crossed we're talking to you smiling on Monday.
And see you guys.
Everyone
bye-bye.
Else, bye-bye. Enjoy it and have a great day. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it.